Today we're looking at Psalm 46, and there are many times in life that box us in and leave us feeling trapped. Relationships can do that. Finances, sickness, strain at work, bills, children can cause us to worry. Our own flesh can cause us to worry. And worry causes ulcers, tooth decay, and even death. But in moments of worry, there's always one option available to us, and that option is to turn to the Lord and trust God. Martin Luther, the Reformer, and those connected to him lived a bold life in the face of great danger, including in the face of death, because of their stand for truth. There were times, however, when Luther and his friends would start to get a little low. And one of Luther's close associates was this friend, Philip Melanchthon. Sometimes when Philip would start to get worried, the great Reformer, Martin Luther, would say to him, "Come on, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm," and they would sing it. In fact, Martin Luther's famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is based on this very psalm. And it's a great psalm. It communicates this point. No matter what God's people face, they should always trust God and exalt God, for he always will be with his people and always care for his people. Now, from that superscription, there are certain things that we can observe. This psalm was written for the choir director. It was to be publicly taught and communicated, and it's a shame that more choir directors don't realize they have this responsibility. I love that we have a worship director that takes this seriously. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah, a priestly psalm of a non-perfect family. And it's set to Alamoth. The Hebrew word Alamoth is plural and comes from the word Alma, which means virgin or young girl of marriageable age. This may mean a couple of things. It follows Psalm 45, and this may be a song that is to be sung shortly after God's people are wedded to the king. It may have been written to be sung by young girls who had soprano voices. Three times in this psalm we read, "God is our blank." This literally reads in Hebrew, "Elohim Leinu," which means God is to us or God is for us. Twice in the psalm, the Hebrew reads, "Lord Sabaoth," which means Lord of hosts. Luther used this phrase in his famous hymn. In both cases, the title comes with a prepositional phrase that states, "The Lord of hosts is with us." Three times we read Selah, which means stop and think about it. So let's take a look at it. God's people should not fear because anything, because God is always present. Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Selah. The word trouble that appears at the end of verse 1 is a word that refers to specific things that restrict and cramp and tie up God's people. And this refers to things that box us in or pressure us. It's interesting that the cosmological things described in verses 2 and 3 are actual cosmological events that will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes to carry out God's final judgments. The point here is that even when God is pouring out his terrible wrath on the earth, God's people need not fear because God is our refuge and strength and help. The specific description of things in these verses is of extreme cosmological disaster that's hitting the whole world. During the specific time of this, God's people will feel boxed in and pressured as never before in history. So contextually speaking, even in the worst times of disaster, God's people need not fear because God is the refuge, strength, and help for his people in times of trouble. Now, the phrase that makes this psalm so applicable to all of God's people is the phrase from verse 1 that says, "a very present help." The idea is that when God's people find themselves in adverse or distressful troubles and afflictions, they need not fear because God's presence has arrived at the scene, and God is personally the asylum for rest, strength, and help for his people in times of trouble. So when God's people feel cramped and pressured, they can know God is with them. This is exactly what Martin Luther saw in this psalm. He saw that our rest, our security, our strength, and our help are found in God. We may expect God to work in the present, right here, right now. we find ourselves in difficult situations or troubles, we may know that our God will protect, preserve, and assist his own. Martin Luther saw this and wrote about this in his hymn. He said, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. We need not fear any trouble in the present when we belong to God, for he is our refuge and strength and our help." Selah. Stop and think about that. And then God's people should not fear anything because God will always help. Look at verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Seems to me that the primary point here is that God is sovereignly controlling all things from his throne and is continually with his people, even when nations and kingdoms are against Israel or Jacob. There's no question that this has ramifications for the future. God has a prophetic plan that includes a new Jerusalem, which will be actual dwelling place of the Most High God. It will be a literal city and will be called the City of God. A river of life will flow from this city, and establishment of it will occur when nations make uproar. God will cause the earth to melt and create a new heaven, a new earth, and new Jerusalem. The word move in verse 5 is a word that means to move in the sense of shake. Nothing shakes God. Nothing stops his sovereign plan. God has a prophetic plan that includes Israel and a city, and nothing is going to thwart it. Now, the point of the psalm is that God will help his people. Even though it may appear as though there are powerful forces waging war with his people, one word from God will stop those forces and his people will be victorious. The fact is, nations have always been in uproar against Israel, but their uproar doesn't faze God or change anything. Israel is God's nation, and she will one day be in a glorious city of God, the New Jerusalem, and all nations of the world will honor her. Martin Luther said, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." Selah. Stop and think about that. And then lastly, God's people should exalt God because God is our strong defense. Look at verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. The tendency for God's people when surrounded by trouble is to strive with God. The idea from the Hebrew is to get tense and to doubt and not trust God. But God says in verse 10, cease striving. God says to his people, let the worry go, let the anxiety go, relax and trust me because you will see me work. Stop running around and quiet down and trust God. God's people are connected to a sovereign God. He is the one who causes desolations to hit the earth. He is the one who makes war stop. He is the one who takes the weapons away from the warriors. God's people can rest in the fact that they have a relationship with this sovereign, powerful God. Spurgeon said, let the worst come to the worst. The child of God should never give way to mistrust, since God remains faithful. There can be no danger to his cause or to his people. There are two things we can do nothing about: what will happen, what has happened in the past, and what will happen in the future. We'd be very wise to quit worrying and trust God. No bird tries to build a bigger nest than his neighbor bird. No fox ever worried because he had only one hole in the ground to live in. No dog ever lost sleep over whether or not he would have enough bones to eat in the future. This psalm should cause us to stop worrying, start trusting, and enjoy today. We need to remember God says, I am a very present help in trouble. So if you are troubled or pressured, cease striving and start trusting. Because present trouble is a great time to look to God for present help. And no matter what terrible thing is happening, God is our refuge and strength for his people. When God's people find themselves squeezed in by trouble or pressure, it's time to run to God in prayer and praise. And Israel is God's special nation, and she has some glorious future promises, and we need to remember that as we think of our lives too.